Hello, welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Unplugged. Yes, as we go into the summer, quick fire podcasts. I'm Rob London, and with me, as always, is Sam Sankey.
Hello, how are you, Rob?
And Dennis Waywell. Bit drunk there, Dennis. Had a bottle of wine.
I've had half a bottle of wine. Yeah, don't feel too good. How's everyone feeling 24 hours after?
Confused.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Right. Now, just quickly before we start, we're only doing this for 15 minutes. You had a lovely trip down to Wembley, Sam. You drove all the way back.
Yes.
No problem whatsoever. But then what happened?
Oh, yeah. Do we need to talk about this? There might be criminal proceedings. Well, in brief, I'd literally walked through the door 1 minute. Putting the coats away that we took in the boot, you know, very sensible middle-aged persons. I heard a huge bang outside, and for a second I thought, I've left the handbrake off, the car's rolled down the drive, and someone's hit it. But no, it turns out, am I allowed to say some idiot going ridiculously fast? I think I am, because there's no life.
Can I just point out, Sam, this is a 15-minute podcast and we're down to 12 minutes and 48
seconds. And the other thing as well is most cars nowadays have an electronic handbrake and you're not really required to put them on.
When on earth has someone thought I've left the handbrake off since like 1989?
Well, I started driving in 1989, so there you go.
Fair enough.
Or 80, yeah, a bit earlier. Anyway, a car had gone careering into the front garden of the house opposite, taking out two walls. And fortunately, joking aside, the driver and the passenger have escaped with relatively small injuries. I think there's some broken bones.
10 minutes.
It did involve having to be cut out of the car. And I got to bed at about 1 a.m.
Yeah.
The review of the Challenge Cup final. The team was Duffy, Thewlis, King, Ty, Lindott, Williams, Sneed, Yates, Powell, Vaughan, Holroyd, Fitzgibbon and Curry. Interchange bench was Harrison, Philbin, Crowther and Ratchford. Here's the highlights.
So Warrington Together's underway. The countdown is on the scoreboard. The hooter will shrill. And Wembley, a Cup company, as we get underway in the 2025 Betfred Challenge Cup.
That's the test.
Lewis. Really made it for it to work, and he got a penalty on the back of it.
Ducks it in the air. Take the two, yeah, gotta take the two.
But in the rear view. Celebrate. First points. Sneed with the kick. Oh, that's carrier banging all over the shop. Oh, it's spooked Joe Burgess. We could see it swirling. And you thought, no way, I don't want any of that.
Well, anything you can do, we can do better. He's nailed that kick.
Sneed, that dab of a kick. He passes for Thewlis. Chalet finds May. Catch a pass there from Hickman. Davis sprawls forward. High tackle. Oh, penalty. You know I can't come down. May looks up, sees a wall of primrose and blue. The kick in behind. Lindell tries to ground it. Has it been scored for Davis?
He scored it.
Is an engine, five-cylinder Roman invention, fly.
It's in the field of play. It's in the field of play. And the ball is grounded. A fair man decision.
8,000 diesel fountains, everything.
Final score, Warrington 6, Hull KR 8. There was a try for Thulis, a conversion also from Sneed. Referee was Liam Pisspoor, and the attendance, 63,278. Before we review, here's Sam Burgess post-match at his press conference.
It's, yeah, you don't always get what you deserve, and I don't think we deserve to lose today. I thought we controlled the game very well and executed the plan. I thought we were physical. We can all see we control the game for large parts, but unfortunately in sports, these things can happen, and we were just on the wrong side of it today.
Any thoughts about Aaron Lindop?
Well, I'll tell you what I think about Aaron Lindop. I think he's an amazing young man. I think he's an amazing player. He's got such a bright future in the game. So that's what I think about Aaron. I absolutely love him.
Pick out everybody today. 17 were fantastic today.
Yeah, I thought we turned up to do our job and we turned up to become winners today. And it'll be a tough one for the players to understand. But I don't think they feel like they should have lost today. So they're really disappointed in there. They really are. So they should be very proud of themselves. We came and executed a brilliant plan, and we got ourselves within a very winnable position, and unfortunately just the last couple of minutes just didn't work for us, and it's in the history books now.
That's his performance today.
Why, he's just brilliant, isn't he? Yeah. I've seen it all week in him. I knew all week he's going to be good. He's really just turned into a different bloke. He's really composed. He knows how to manage a game. I think we all saw him today. He controlled the game completely. He made some big plays.
Is this the most disappointing thing in your long career,
in the
game?
Just the way
it turned out.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed for the player. I'm just upset for the players. So, I'll move on. Suffering and pain and loss and everything like that, they're really crucial to development and growth as a group. All right, so. We're certainly suffering at the minute. There's a lot of pain in there, but we'll take something out of it. We'll take a really positive piece out of it as a group. Unfortunately, we lost Duff. Unfortunately, broke his eye socket with about 20-odd minutes to go, and he clashed heads with their player. I don't know who it was. And it popped out with about 7 or 8 minutes to go. So we'll miss Duff for a while, which is unfortunate. The boys really wanted to get the job done for him. That's sport.
Sam, you mentioned the positives. Is that going to be good for you for the remainder of the season now, all the positives that you have out there, despite the defeat?
Yeah, well, I think everyone in the room, everyone in the stadium can see what sort of team we are. We're although our form in the league is not where it needs to be, I think everyone is aware of who we are and what we stand for as a group.
Sam,
did you have to sort of clarify for Aaron's sake, as much as anyone, the ground of the ball
thing, whether it was
body
or not? Did you
have to clarify that and explain sort of why the try was given? No, it's all whether it looked like he may have ground the ball in his stomach. So he may have. Do you think he may have, or he did ground his ball in his stomach?
Yeah.
So my point is, what's the letter of the law and the rules? Well, I just read the letter of the law and the rules. It says grounding from the waist up below the neck, and it's downward pressure on the ball. It's classed as grounded. You know, so I'm not making about that call. It's kind of a big call. I mean, is anyone in the room, am I off the mark there? Is that the rules, or do we all agree with that? Yeah, okay.
Well, the results now.
So I can't do anything about that. So I'm not. I didn't come in talking about that. Yeah. I'm answering the question. I'm obviously upset about the decision. I thought it was the wrong decision. Well, the law, the rules tell you it's the wrong decision. That's not an emotional response. I'm just telling you the truth.
Well, I mean, nice atmosphere down there, Sam. You sent a few pictures. What parked at Gerrard's Cross?
Yes,
wasn't it?
Yes.
And then you got yourself into London. Dennis, where were you?
Just sat on couch, wasn't I? You know, I was a bit pissed as well at this time. It seems to be a running thing, doesn't it, really? Where were you, Rob? Were you away? You were away,
well, it was
you?
A 12 o'clock kickoff here, so I was struggling. About 10 o'clock, I was struggling. So I opened a family box of Cheezels. I don't know if you have those over there. And spent about an hour and a half just basically browsing ugly Hull KR fans on the internet.
Yeah, we had a lot of
sending you pictures through of like the missing link and people who like white bread. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It was good. Yeah. It was good. Well. I mean, took me by surprise. I mean, the effort was there, boys. The effort was there. You cannot knock the effort. I thought they tackled outstandingly, every single one of them, for the entire game. And it was just that little bit here and there. I think I sent you a message, boys, to say we had so much possession on their line in that second half.
Yes.
And I think I sent you a message, Sam, to say that sort of 2009, 10, 2012 team, I think would have comfortably put another 12 points on the scoreboard down the end. But we look a bit toothless, I thought. They just didn't look like at all we were going to break their line.
I think I would agree. And I'm glad you've started with that, Rob, because I wrote down here, I thought, first, before we criticise anybody, I've got to say we cannot fault the effort.
I'm not criticising anyone.
No, before we do, we can't commit, fault the effort and commitment of the team. We've been poor this year, but to keep Hull KR to 8 points, we raised the game, we turned up. So if I am a bit critical of one or two people over the next 6 minutes or however long we've got left, it's not about effort or attitude. All that was there in spades.
Are these notes 15 minutes long that you've got, Sam? How many notes have you made for this? We're only jumping off for 10 minutes. Oh, God.
We've got 8 minutes left. 8 minutes left, boys. I thought that, you know, to go in at half-time up, I thought, gee, we're in a strong position. I actually thought we were favourites at half-time. I thought we sort of knocked the stuffing out of them. The try did come from a deflection. I mean, if we did get across the line over the entire game, it was an attacking kick, but it took a nice lucky bounce for Thulis to score, who I thought had a brilliant game. I thought Thulis,
yes,
how brave. He just kept running that ball in, just time after time. And Lindop as well. I thought both of the wingers, they were used as battering rams for half the game, but both played really well. A few people were a bit critical of Williams. I thought Williams was fine. I thought he was fit. There was about three occasions where they just grabbed hold of his shorts or he was away.
Yes, yeah.
Everyone was fantastic, I thought.
Yeah, you talk about numbers. I found a report on the RFL site that gave a few statistics, not many, but a few. Said Duffy ran for over 200 metres, King 194, Lindop 162.
Wow.
Said Curry and Holroyd both made 43 tackles. Sneed kick from hand meters, 774.
Wow. The only caveat I would put in with Sneed is I thought his kicking close to the line was not on site.
Oh, I'm glad you've said that. I've got a page worth of that. Dennis, you say something first. Dennis, come on.
5 minutes left, Dennis. 5 minutes left.
As I'd like to see a picture of Lindop's belly button. I think that should be a good one. Or a picture of his belly, and he should just shade in where the ball shape was on the torso. I'd like to see that. I think that'd be a good social media thing to say. Look, there you go.
Well, can I have my say on that piece first? Can I just have a quick say?
Go on, yes.
All right. So first of all, John Wilkin was wrong. And I think it was quite a bigoted statement for him to come out and say it only affects the attacking team. The decision is both ways. It's attack and defence. And he just said, oh, it doesn't, grounding the ball with your torso has nothing to do with your defensive team. It does. But you have to ground the ball with intent. Now, you could say when the ball was kicked through, Lindop's intent was to clear the ball away. His intention was to clear the ball away. However, I don't think he had any intention on dropping his torso onto it. So no, in the end, I think it was the right decision. It was a try, but I think the way they went about it and the BBC not really commenting on it, and also Liam Moore not really sending it up to the VR and questioning that, and the VR actually not questioning it as well, it was all a bit of a clusterfuck, which led to the right decision.
So I've not looked up the rules in the RFL rule book of 7,000 pages, but the RFL have issued a statement backing up John Wilkin. And that's all. I've just accepted that statement. I've not gone looking for proof either way.
And that's what annoyed me as well. They've closed ranks. They've had a think about it and closed ranks. I think the best comment of all, and I can't find it now because it's disappeared, but we have our professor who listens to the podcast over in Seoul. He lectures at the university there in Seoul. He wrote something on the lines of, Wilkin says his piece, all the other cunts just nod.
Ah, excellent. Yeah, that's exactly it, isn't it? I mean, you've got to write intent into the rules then. It's not just making them up and interpreting them on the day, is it? So, yeah, I agree. It felt like, oh, all right, yeah, he's missed it, this, that and the other, and it is what it is. I was most impressed by the fact that we were competitive and it was actually a contest. I think there was a worry that we wouldn't get there. Burgess was confident. I think the only thing I would say is everybody played to their limitations and you couldn't have asked for more. And just, you know, we didn't have enough to win by more on the day. That was
Ashton and Walker on the field. Is it a totally different
Walker
game?
Walker for me makes a difference. Walker makes a difference for me.
Yeah.
The bench. Let's talk about the bench. The bench is probably the most important.
I thought the bench played well. I actually thought when Harrison and Philbin came on, we got a little bit of go forward. I thought Vaughan was a little bit quiet during his first spell. Second spell, I thought he was great. But I didn't. And I thought Crowther tackled his socks off.
Yes. And I don't think you can really give a mark to Ratchford, who came on for the last 8 minutes or whatever. But can I just say where my criticism is and where, Rob, you've already mentioned it. This afternoon, I didn't watch the first half back. I have watched the second half back because I felt longer as the game was going on, I just felt more and more confident that we were going to get the killer try. And it was just, we were kicking them to death. I mentioned Sheffield Eagles game against Wigan last time we recorded, didn't we? I've counted 8 occasions where we started a set of 6 30 metres from their line. Right. 8 occasions in that second half, and ultimately we didn't score. The Lindop mistake of not booting it into Rosehead, or did he ground it or not, shouldn't have mattered.
No, exactly.
We should have been more than one score ahead. Yeah.
And in all those occasions, really, the only one where we slightly maybe got to the line, there was a Yates drive. Yates nearly pushed through. Holroyd ran onto a ball very strongly, but unfortunately he's half the size he needs to be. I did go back and have a look and think, did Dufty get obstructed when Williams put the kick through under the sticks? And there's a little nudge, but not enough. Maybe if he'd gone down like a sack of shit, we might have got a penalty. I think I texted in the second half to say, very early on in the second half, and it was sort of half joking at the time, was, is it time for a drop goal? Down there 8 times.
Yes.
I'll always remember that Premiership semi-final at Wigan. I think Paul Bishop kicked about 5 drop goals that afternoon to beat Wigan. Not a bad idea. Get a few more on the board.
Yeah. But ultimately, we didn't, and we left ourselves. And I think if they'd have scored with 10 or 15 minutes to go, and we'd have had 10 or 15 minutes and still not scored, the result's the same, but it doesn't feel the same as having it ripped from your grasp with just 2 minutes to go, does it? It feels such a crushing blow in the last couple of minutes.
One thing I'd just like to add in there as well is it certainly demonstrates that Sam Burgess can get a side to to turn up on the day when it matters. And, you know, in the past, when we've turned up on the day in a big game, especially the grand final, we've never really quite turned up. So there's a positive there. I mean, if we can get into the top six, you know, maybe we have got a chance.
I think he gets us to turn up, and I think they all play for him in the dressing room. I just think our technical awareness out there isn't what it needs to be. I think Sneed is coaching the team now. And I would like to see a diversity of options close to the line when we're attacking.
Yes. We don't seem to have that.
That's what they need to work on.
What do you think happens next then? Is this, you know, back of a Wembley win or a loss usually ends up with like a loss the following week in the league. How do we get back on the train here?
Well, we'll come on to Leeds in a sec. We'll just conclude this one now, just very quickly. Can I give 5 sag points to the producer at the BBC who continually... He kept showing them in the coaches in the box and we kept missing part of the game. I thought Matt Newsom was fantastic. I thought Brian Noble deserves a tick because he was the only one who knew the rule about the grounding of the torso. No one else mentioned it. I mean, that was it, really. Sam, any conclusion on this game?
So near, but so far. I know that's a stereotype, but I think it sums it up perfectly.
Dennis?
Belly button, inner or an outie? Rob?
It's that hope that kills you, isn't it?
Hope that kills you. Great.
Predictions.
We can predict the future or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
On to prediction. It's Leeds away. I think it's on Saturday. I've not even written it down. Is it Saturday, Sam? I think it's Saturday.
It is 5:30 away on Saturday.
In regards to the money, I had a bit of a win because I put £150 on Hawkeye. So I'm now on £205. Dennis is in the red. I lost another fiver on Dan Russell, who didn't play.
Oh,
and Sam's in the black by... I've got my glasses on. 94 pence.
Yay!
All right. I'll go first. As much as it was a great performance away at Wembley, I'm just not sure we can get ourselves up again. What we seem to have to do to play well is to all be up and wanting to get battered and bruised. And I don't think, as a rugby league team, you can do that every week. You need a bit more skill and craft out there. And I think we're lacking that. So I think a similar loss. I think we'll get a fair bit of possession down their end, but we won't be able to put it to bed. So I'm going to be a bit lenient, though, on the betting. I'll go £10 on a Leeds win, and I'll have a pound on a Josh Thewlis try. Sam?
I think you've probably summed it up well. Because I've got to try and catch up a bit, I'm going to go £50 on a Leeds win.
Ooh.
And just a pound on a George Williams try.
Yeah, listen to that.
Right, Dennis, you were asking how we were going to get back on top. Dennis, this is your chance. Come on.
Well, I think we will get back on top. I don't think any of them should, you know, hold their heads and that, you know, oh, we didn't do very well, we lost the game. I think actually it was a great performance and you can kick on from here. So I'm going for a £5 wire win. And hopefully... Dan Russell's back, so £5, please.
Excellent. All right, that's it. We'll be back probably next week sometime for another 15-minute Unplugged podcast. Until then, it's goodbye from Sam.
All the best.
See you later from Dennis.
Good seeing you.
Au revoir from me. Done. You were listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Unplugged.
Are you mentioning Oasis this week, or are we moving on? You hear me out to try, but I can't see you every night. Free, I do. I'm standing.